You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Guys We Fucked. Guys We Fucked.
Guys We Fucked.
I'm Christina.
I'm Corinne.
We're sorry about last night.
Coming to you from Stand Up New York Labs. Guys We Fucked.
Guys We Fucked.
The anti-slut-shaming podcast. I never stop.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked.
It's Guys We Fucked.
The anti-slut shaming podcast.
It's an anti-slut shaming podcast.
People That's can't correct. Tell our voices apart, so I try hard to insert weird voices.
It's very funny to me because
it's Christina.
Yeah, because I think we both have deep voices, but I think mine's a little bit more annoying and New Jersey-ish, and yours is a little...
Mine's more annoying.
Well,
because I go, I'm like, I get excited and I talk really, like, high.
Well, the thing is, I think the easiest way to tell is that I talk faster than you do.
That's true.
I talk a lot faster, in fact. Yeah. So anytime someone's talking fast, it's Corinne.
Yeah.
That's and then me.
Anytime someone's making a weird mentally challenged voice, that's me.
Yeah.
How you doing, girl?
Dude.
Girl.
I have so much to tell you. You have no idea.
Go. Let's go. Come on.
You have no idea.
Hit me.
All right, so let's start with the good news. There's only one piece of it, but guess, Christina.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Who did I wake up in bed next to this morning?
Does it start with a D? Mm-hmm. And
who? Dan Byrne. Oh, no, he's married.
I said Dan Byrne.
Oh, my God. God, no, he's married.
Wait, okay, the person who got mad that you talked about him on the podcast, that person?
No, that would be a normal thing.
I know them, obviously. Is it a comedian? Oh, have you banged him before? Oh, my God. There's so many options.
I was shaking my head. Sorry. That's not the best thing to do on a podcast.
All right. No one else could see us.
It is a comedian, but I have not banged him before. Craig Mahoney.
That was Christine, if you can't
there
tell.
There was a challenge.
Oh, my God, Mahoney.
There was a challenge 2 weeks ago to the day. There was a challenge.
Oh, he's so hot.
Placed in front of me. And 2 weeks later, I am reporting back.
Oh, my God.
Done.
Was it everything you wanted it to be and more?
I mean, I don't remember it.
Oh, damn it. Was it at your place?
Yeah.
Were there a lot of mice?
We killed 13 this week, so I would 13? Say no.
13? Dude, you're super
excited.
We
killed 5 alone yesterday.
Are you kidding me?
Nope. Does it look like
it doesn't look like you're. It looks like you killed more than that. You're just being modest because it's so depressing. I'm so sorry.
Oh, I was at. I got home from work yesterday, and I went to war.
Oh.
I went to fucking war. He had the mice had made a house
what?
In like the, in this like basket. I used to keep my clothes in. There was popcorn. There
in
was
your
chocolate.
Room?
No. Oh. There was in the, it was in the kitchen. There was I just because I still have some stuff unpacked. There was rice. And this was a box. I literally was like I told my roommate like last week and I was like I think they're living in that box. And then she texted me. She goes, there's no food in that box. I'm like, let me take a look in this box myself.
Wow.
Not only was there food, it was like a mouse buffet. Like if I could put a meal together, the Last Supper for all things mice like the best. And I know a lot of you people have your cock in your hands right now and you're like, oh, this isn't fun. Corinne, stop talking about mice. If you lived in New York with fucking 13 mice in your apartment,
you'd talk about it.
It would be addressed on your podcast.
The thing with your mice is they're really comfortable and having a gay old time.
They're real comfortable.
They're frolicking like Snow White's forest. It's very... If they're like at the beach. They're like on their Memorial Day vacation.
Oh my God.
I'm so sorry.
Whatever. I want to go. Go.
You fucked Craig Mahoney.
So I want to go back to a little bit. Number one, I went to the Fat Baby show yesterday night because I just needed to get out of the mouse apartment. My friend Blair Saki was performing and she was wonderful. So I went and, you know, whatever. She's a bad, great and also a bad influence on me because we just egg each other on. So I went out for it was a lot of vodka later. And I decided to drunk text Craig Mahoney.
Last night?
Yes.
Okay.
And I have good experience. I have like a good track record with drunk texting, but...
you're pretty good at it. You're not sloppy at drunk texting, I don't think.
I knew... Yeah, because I'm...
You're not like dick in
my
meat
spelling
now.
Is good. My
Mine's
yeah.
Not.
So I knew that it was game on when I got the text back that said, where are you right now?
Yes, that is the best feeling in the world.
I said...
Especially when you've never hooked up before.
I said, oh, I'm right here.
Oh, baby, I'm in your heart.
So he comes down to the show from Yankee Stadium. Yes, he was in Yankee Stadium. He was like a little drunk, but he kind of always is. It was great. And usually I am not that aggressive. I'm aggressive in real life, but I'm not super aggressive with guys unless we're already fucking. Like in bed, I'm aggressive, but like in that courting period, I'm actually super not aggressive.
With Craig, I think it's interesting though, because even I took on this like role of I can kind of say whatever I want to him because you were kind of saying whatever you wanted.
Yeah.
He thought it was really funny.
Yeah.
In that like, oh, you look sexy. That's a nice ass, Craig. And you kind of formed that rapport with him.
Yeah.
So well, that makes sense.
My approach was just go so with it. If you notice every time he posts something on Facebook, I'll be like, oh, good job, Pumpkin. Like I'm just like completely over the top, just like so completely over the top. And
that's awesome.
So yeah, the tactic I used was a little something I learned from Jerry Halliwell from the Spice Girls.
Love her.
And that was wear a motherfucker down. Wear a motherfucker down
in bed.
No, just wear him down. I was just like, I was not going home unless I was going home with Craig Mahoney.
Yeah.
Like it was not.
You got your eye on the prize.
And you know what? It wasn't that hard. I'm gonna be honest.
Well, you both wanted to bang each other.
I just
there's no resistance on
touched
his part.
Him a lot. You know, without, I mean, he smelled like hot dogs because he came from Yankee Stadium. I didn't
He's
bother
allowed.
Me. And the thing is, he won is my full? Heart this morning when he looked at me and he goes, "Did we have sex?" And I was like, "Oh God, you're a man after my own heart, Craig Mahoney."
We've asked that question too many times in our lives.
I'm a mess.
No, you're not.
I really am.
You got a lot of mice in your apartment.
I've been having a nervous breakdown. And Christina, this Craig Mahoney story, that's the appetizer to the entree of what happened this week. And I'm sorry.
What?
I hope
the
you don't
fuck?
Have a lot of important things to drop because I'm having a nervous breakdown.
I have the horrible thing to drop, but it doesn't have anything to do with sex. I went into a depression coma after bombing.
Oh, that's right.
Most of the people who listen to this podcast probably have never done stand-up comedy. It's a scary thing, but then you get over it and then you do it. When you're doing it for 3 years, you accumulate a good 10 minutes that you feel good about that's gone well.
Right.
And you do it at a comedy club that a manager booked the spot for you so he could bring his team out. And you fucking bomb. Radio silence. It was the most embarrassing, humiliating, nauseating experience of my life. I didn't talk the next day. I didn't even talk. I just cried. My eyes were swollen. I was so upset. That's my story.
Yeah, but I mean, you said like, well, wasn't it like a Tuesday night or a Monday? Yeah. It was a Monday night, in fact.
Yes,
right?
And there was a lot of old. The crowd was, I would say, I think it's safe to say, it's 80% people over the age of 65. A lot of my stuff is about sex. It's very vulgar.
Who was playing
that
on the show?
It was a new talent show.
Oh,
but it wasn't anticipated. I just didn't know. I don't perform in front. But the thing is, blaming
was it crowded?
Yeah, it was. It was crowded, but blaming it on the audience is a shit. It's an excuse.
I'm really surprised. You know what
the thing is?
Sometimes with the new, I feel like new talent shows, the audience is generous, but maybe sometimes what happens is that because you're not one of the people that they know.
Yeah.
You know? Because they're there to support someone very specific. It's not just to see a show.
It was the most humiliated I've ever been in my life.
Really?
Yes. That's how bad it was. I hated myself. So bad after that. I was so disappointed in myself. I didn't talk for a full 24 hours.
I agree that you shouldn't blame the audience, but at the same time, if you like your material and you're confident, I mean, do not like your material. Because like, I would get mad at myself when I tell a joke that I actually don't like or a cheap joke, and then I get pissed if it doesn't work because I'm like, I shouldn't have said that.
Right. Well, the manager gave me really great feedback because he's a very seasoned professional in the industry. And he said, like, I talk about, you guys know, boyfriend who stayed a porn star. And I have a lot of jokes about that, but they come from a very bitter place. And the thing is, at the time when I wrote them, I was very bitter, but now I'm
not. Yeah. You're not a bitter person in general.
Exactly. I am. I'm just not.
Yeah.
So he's like, when I heard that, I'm like, what are you? You sound like a bitter person, and I know you're not. I'm like, ugh, everything I'm saying is wrong. Anyway, that's it.
That sucks. I'm sorry.
I had really good sex last night. It was like the best. It was like wake up in the middle of the night, bang.
Well, there you go.
So that made me feel good.
Okay.
But it doesn't, you gotta, I would need to feel like I'm doing good art. Gotta feel like that or else I hate myself.
No, I mean,
I need to feel good about the work I'm doing.
Yeah, of course.
I feel good about this podcast.
I feel good about it.
What else happened to you?
I'm,
that was it for me.
Okay, so after I left you, you know, I saw you on, what day was that? Sunday.
Yeah.
Saw you on Sunday here at the club at Stand Up New York. And, I decided to walk, to Columbus Circle and just take the express train. Sometimes I like to walk when the air is like crisp and clean.
You were going to go home?
Yeah. Well, I did go. I was on my way home. But I just like to take the express train back uptown. Mm-hmm. And, I ran into Frank.
shut the fuck up.
I don't know if I've ever said his name before, but for those guys, Frank is the ex.
Wait, have you not seen him in?
I hadn't seen him.
Wow. You looked beautiful.
Oh, thank
you. Your hair was freshly cut.
That's so funny. Someone else said that.
You did. You looked stunning.
That, you know what? And
that always feels good. That matters.
You know what? No, it does matter. And anyone who says it doesn't is an idiot.
You're lying to yourself if you don't think it does.
I, like, right now, actually, like, even just saying it, like, my heart is racing.
I forget you dated him sometimes. I can't imagine you guys together at all. It's at that point.
It was almost exactly a year to the day of the last day I saw him, because the last time I saw him was, like, April 2nd or April 4th of last year.
What did you do? What was going through your head? Was he walking towards you?
Okay, we were walking towards each other.
Okay, so you're bound to see, you're going to see, both of you guys are going to catch
Well, the
each
thing
other.
What happened is I saw him first. I thought we actually had seen each other in unison, though. Oh. And I thought that he had seen me, because I had seen him. I thought he saw me. And I kind of thought we had both, with our eyes, made a mutual decision that we were just both going to ignore each other.
Oh.
And I was okay with that.
Really?
I was okay with that. It would have hurt me a little bit, but I was okay with that. Because
it was both of your decision.
Honestly, I really never wanted to see him again.
Yeah.
Like ever.
Yeah.
Never. And I don't feel that way about anybody.
Mm-hmm. I feel that way about one person in my life.
And he didn't see me, and right as we're about to like totally pass, he noticed me. He rips his earbuds out, excited to see me.
Wow.
And that hurt, because when your ex is excited to see you in that way, like an old friend,
he doesn't get it.
They're over you. They're completely over you.
He also has had a girlfriend for a while.
For a little over a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who he lives with. And I mean,
I don't think people are ever complete. I guess you can be completely over somebody, but there's still, even if he was excited, I don't think that necessarily means he was over you.
I mean, yeah, he was excited to see me in the way that, in the way that you would be excited to see a really good friend that you haven't seen, who it's a real treat
to
run into.
There was no weight to it. The weight that was your relationship was not in his reaction.
No. And for me, like, I felt like a truck had hit. Like, I'm never short on words.
Never.
And I didn't know what to say. So he was just like, hey. And then he was just like, first thing out of his mouth was like, congratulations. And like, in my head, I knew he meant about the podcast. But I said what? Because I just,
right.
I just said,
assume.
I just said on what?
Yeah. Were you being mean to him or being nice?
It might have come off as I was being mean, but I was honestly like, it was so hard for me to get the words to even leave my mouth.
That's gut-wrenching.
And then I said, oh, thank you. And then I was like, okay, say something nice. And I didn't, and I just go, oh, my brother saw that Seth Rogen thing you did, which probably sounds like I was like belittling it. I wasn't. I just honestly like didn't know.
It's a good Seth Rogen impression.
I couldn't remember the word video. It took me every piece of my brain to remember Seth Rogen's last name. Cause I was like,
were you angry during
this
interaction?
No, I wasn't angry at all.
Were you
I was sad, and it was also really upsetting for me, because it was the wake up call that like I'm so not over this.
Really?
In my everyday life I am, and I know it's like, I was talking to Paula about it. Paula's my best friend, and Paula was like, she was like, I think anyone would be deeply affected the first time you see the ex. I mean, like,
of course.
The thing is, like, he wasn't, though. And then,
but he's had a girlfriend for a year. I don't think
I hate that whole replacement thing, though. It's such a.
Of course, it's the worst.
Because I don't replace. I don't know.
You don't.
And
some people do, though.
The thing is, I've never
replaced people.
I've never felt the way I felt about anyone, about even like my boyfriend who I dated for 5 years. I love him dearly. But the first time I saw him, at my first boyfriend after many years, I kind of in my heart hoped that I would be like, oh, my God, I'm still in love with you.
But you weren't.
And I just wasn't at all. And then I was like, here
we
go.
Are you still in love with him?
With Frank?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know who Frank is anymore.
Right.
Which is such like, I don't know. But I don't. He's not. And in fact, I don't even know if I knew the real. I feel like he was kind of like being the person he thought I wanted to date.
Yeah.
But the last thing I want from anyone is for them to not be themselves. Like,
absolutely.
That's like my whole number one basis of life.
I don't think that he wasn't himself. Do you think that? I mean, you knew him way better than I did.
I don't know if he like knew who himself was.
But he might have just been in such a fucked up place in his head. That's an excuse. But
I don't know. I feel like he tried really hard to be someone who would just like be the person I wanted and kind of like upset himself and like destroyed himself in the process. He seemed really happy, and that made me happy, honestly, because I do want, and I think I don't have feel, I mean, whatever, we all know my opinions on the new girlfriend. It's just like, I don't want to say anything shitty. I don't know her. And honestly, she seems like a very nice person, and she seems like a really good fit for Frank.
Yeah,
and that's
what he needs right
because
now.
I still do love him. Honestly, that's my, that I really like, I know I love him because I really want him to be happy, even if it means not being with me.
That's interesting,
really mean
that. Because
I was
just about to ask you, do you think one of the reasons why you're stuck on it is, I know you had a great relationship. You've had a great relationship with other people before, too. But he was the one who had control over, this is ending. This is not going the way you want it to go. You didn't see this coming. See ya.
That wasn't great. But then, I mean, I never loved
anyone. Did that play a part?
I never loved anyone even nearly as close to the
even
way I loved
then.
Him. Yeah. No, never.
Okay.
And
so the two of those factors combined equaled the worst.
Yeah. And then there was, so after I said congratulations, and I was like, oh, my brother saw it. He said it was good. And that's true. Like, I wasn't trying to be like, I don't want your thing. But the thing is, like, I haven't looked at any of his social media since August.
Which is great.
Yeah. Like, and that was such an important step.
Also, you don't feel
like,
the need
my
to.
My recovery.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your urge to do it isn't stronger than the desire that's in you that's like, I know what's good for me and I shouldn't be doing
it. Oh,
this.
Yeah. No, I felt so amazingly better. And then, of course, I run into him and then I like fell off the wagon a little bit and went crazy and like looked at Twitter. And like, you know what?
Wow.
I looked at it for a couple minutes. I didn't look at his Facebook. I just looked at his Twitter. I looked at her Twitter and it was just like, I was seeing it and I was like, if this is like, in a way it was okay because I was just like, if this is what he wanted, like their relationship, the way they interact.
Is it different than yours? Totally different.
Is so.
I see their social media.
Over the top, lovey dovey. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a way, it's not something that I could do,
yeah.
want to do,
You'd
want
never
in
be
my
girlfriend.
Life. I couldn't exist like that. It's obnoxious. It's gross. Like, I mean, it's like, I think
it's
really
not you.
I think it's really weird. Like, I don't, and you know, and I know this is exactly what he needs. Like, he needs someone who's gonna just fucking publicly love the shit out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I loved him way more than he had any idea, but I just don't express it in the way that he's gonna be able to notice it.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's on
if
me.
That's not what he. Yeah, but it's not necessarily. Oh, I need a girlfriend like this, and so we moved on to a girlfriend like that. It's like, okay, this relationship in my head, it's over. We've verbally agreed that it's over. Let's move on to something else. Oh, this is totally different. Let's try this. Like, it's kind of, he just went to that maybe because it's different.
Yeah, no, I mean,
I was so different from Steven's last girlfriend who
had
just broken up with.
Yeah.
The opposite of her.
The minute I looked a little bit into Frank's new girlfriend, I go, oh my God, he's going to marry this girl. Like, this, I could
you
tell.
You said that immediately.
I'm not an
you
idiot.
You knew when they were dating before they started
I'm
dating.
Not an idiot. I can tell. I know him well enough to know what he likes. And then, so we said that, I said, you know, my brother saw your Seth Rogen thing. He said it was good. And then there was like a moment. We just stood there for a moment, kind of looked at each other. And then he goes, okay, take care. And then
ooh.
It wasn't like shitty. It was just like, I think.
Yeah, but it's sad.
I don't know what he expected. To me, like the fact that like he fucking sent gifts that I gave him back to my dad's store without a note. Like how.
Yeah.
That's the last interaction we had.
You'd never meant anything to me.
How am I going to greet you? And I don't think he was being excited or nice to me to be shitty. I think he genuinely was excited to see me.
Yeah.
And I know that he is he's always been supportive of me in the comedy. And I think he is genuinely happy for me. I don't know if he listens to the podcast. Whatever. I don't know.
Would you have him on the podcast?
I don't know. Seeing him, honestly, I think that as much as I want to like be true to everything and like,
but that's okay.
I think that would be the last episode.
Yeah, yeah. It's that's okay to not want that.
Would be the last episode.
Yeah,
because of that. There's no going back from that. And So that And then I looked at his, I was looking at his social, and then I looked at it the next day, just, you know, because of course I'm looking for like some like fucking subtweet to me, because I'm a narcissist. And he mentioned that in the reason, and I was thought it was weird where we ran into each other, because I know where he lives now, and he had just a lot of fate, kind of like, because a lot of things happened to make us run into each other that day. Like, I decided to walk out of my way, he right. decided to walk home from the theater where he yep. works. And it was a lot. And I didn't know how to deal with it. I was so fucking depressed all week about it. And I was trying to write comedy about it. And I came up with something that I think is interesting, but I don't think it's funny. But basically, like, going and looking at his social media was like, it was kind of like if you have like some piece of furniture from IKEA, right? And it's mm-hmm. in your room and you put it together one day without instructions. And like, it always kind of works, but like one of the drawers doesn't fully slide right, in and you're like... Right. And then it's like one day you come across the directions and you look at the blueprint and you're like, oh, that's how it's supposed to work. Like, that's the best way I could like explain what it was like to see pictures of him or interactions of him and his new girlfriend.
That's a really good. Yeah.
Because as much as it hurts, and I was like, I am not too proud to admit that that works
better.
That works better.
Better. Yeah.
And that's
a huge revelation.
And like,
it doesn't feel great.
But. I was just like, I'm like going to cry. And like, it was just
okay.
Like, just like the fucking like worst. So, yeah. And it was like, I've played this out in my head so many times, you know, like, and you're always like, oh, I'm going to do this. And it's going to be like, awesome.
I'm going to look like this and I'm going to say this and he's going to
and it was just like
miss me. And
yeah, well, not even that. It's not even like, I mean,
or at least there's a tinge of I get what happened and I react appropriately.
Yeah.
To
and
that.
Like, even after all this time, it's just like, I just my sense of pride, like, I could never take him back. He's been so shitty.
Yeah.
Like, I've never felt like so horrible in my whole life. Like, this whole fucking, the reason why we're sitting here now is because I couldn't fucking handle this.
Yeah.
And I still can't handle it. And I just feel like I've like,
you can handle it. What are you fucking talking about?
I feel like I've completely lost control. And then, like, I go out yesterday night. Of course, I get drunk. And then I had to conquer Craig Mahoney. That was a different.
Well, that had to be done. Frank. That
you know
was
what?
Like a you,
that,
beyond.
For that all, actually,
on behalf of all women, you need to bang this beautiful, wonderful, nice, sweet man.
No, that had to be moved out of the way so I could because I knew I had to do that so I could, because I'm trying to actually concentrate on the other guy who I really like.
Right.
And I knew I couldn't really like focus on trying to date him seriously if I didn't get Craig out of the way.
Totally.
So I just was like, let me just do this.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
New guy and I have been like sexting all week. And I adore him and he's so much better for me and he like gets me, but it's just like, I'm just like, this week like has like destroyed me.
Destroyed you?
Between like the mice, I haven't slept, so I'm like really shaky. I haven't like slept in like a week.
You can sleep at my house. I know that.
I feel like I just have to deal with it though, because like, I mean, when I stayed home, like I fucking killed them all. And I'm just like, ugh. I feel like it's such a mess. But it's like, I feel like everything was going so well. And then it was kind of like, it had like
the universe going, haha, nope, see ya. Not going to go well anymore for you.
And no, like, this is exactly how it would be if like Frank was on the podcast. I would just sit here like crying the whole time.
Yeah, but the thing is, you are a very strong woman and you are gonna be okay, and you are okay. I know you feel like a mess, but you're in control.
No, I mean, I know things are honestly still going really well.
Yeah,
but it's just like in the parts of my life that I care about,
a lot of shit happened in the past week.
And
first
it's
of
like,
all, the not sleeping thing and having to murder mice is horrifying.
Well,
and it doesn't feel good. And no one wants to kill another living
thing.
Well,
I haven't been eating either because I can't eat in my house. So just like haven't been, like sometimes I just won't eat because I just can't.
Yeah.
And I'm like trying to be really good about like my weight. So I was like, and then, you know, it's like if I get back to Harlem at night and I don't have any food, like.
Well, the good news is I can't.
I just don't eat because it's like, what am I doing? Eat McDonald's? Like I can't.
Yeah.
I have to stop doing that to myself.
Yeah.
I mean, but then I do things like last night I had vodka for dinner. Like
I've had that.
And I sound like such an out of control mess. I know people are going to be like, oh, Corinne has an alcohol problem. Listen.
Shut the fuck up.
I discuss this all the time. Like, yeah, mostly everyone I know in New York City has a very unhealthy relationship with alcohol.
Yeah.
Said it before.
Yeah,
I'm not an alcoholic, but I just have a generally addictive personality. Obviously, I was addicted to Frank.
I don't think it's addictive. I don't think addiction has anything to do with it. I think it's you want to drink. Because the thing is, addiction.
Oh, I'm not addicted to alcohol. No, but I have an addiction.
I'm
addicted to food, and I get addicted to people sometimes.
Yeah,
but no, I'm not addicted to alcohol. I can go a long time without drinking without problems. Sorry, we're running over. Whatever.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I don't give a fuck. So we'll get to the user feedback at some other time because I'm I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I want to talk to our guest as well.
She is a wonderful person, but I don't want to say anything until she comes on because that's what I want to do.
Okay.
That's what we're going to do.
Yeah, no, I think she's awesome.
All right, let's bring on Caitlin, guys.
And when 6 months of insanity ends, will your friends talk to you again? And when you crawl all brokenhearted back to the one with whom you parted, will you catch a break?
All right, you guys, we are here with our special guest today, Caitlin.
Hi.
Hello.
We never, we haven't said anything about you, or like, we haven't said we haven't fucked you. Not obviously.
Yeah.
I've had sex with a girl once.
Yeah, I haven't, but it's not off the table.
It didn't go well. Yeah. I wish I would try it again for sure.
Yeah.
Because I liked it. I set up an OkCupid profile strictly looking for women because I was really curious.
Interesting.
And I was like, yeah. Oh, I never
I've thought
about
putting like a Craigslist thing on because I just want someone who's just going to come on, look over and like eat my pussy. Is that weird?
Well, I didn't know. I didn't want.
I feel
don't
like
know.
There's like a whole group of dudes that would pay you to do that. Like just yeah. that.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
you don't need to.
Well, I want a woman to do it though. Because the thing is, I don't. Have you ever gone down on a woman?
Yes.
Okay. Are you attracted to women or just or is it
no? Like as a general, I've never
right.
I'm not generally attracted to women.
Yeah.
And I wasn't attracted to any of the women that I went down on. But I have had moments like at a bar or like whatever where I've felt attraction towards a woman, like in just like moments of erotically charged energy.
I felt that like the way I'm attracted to men, I've never been attracted to a woman in that way. Like when I'm really attracted to a guy, I like feel it in my whole body.
Yeah.
I need to be around him at all times.
Right.
But with women, I'm like, you, if I'm attracted to a woman, it's more of a thing of you are fucking beautiful. Like
right.
you are so sexy. I'm into it.
Yeah.
It's a different type of attraction though. And that's why I wanted to make that separate dating profile because I wanted to explore that because like stereotypical college years.
Yeah, I've had a crush on a girl, but it like it was like when you have a crush on a guy in like grammar school, like in you don't want to fuck the guy.
Yeah.
You just like want to be around him and like maybe smell him as he passes.
Right, exactly.
Like that's how I feel about girls.
Like you're so super cool. Pretty. Is there any way for me to attach my identity to yours? Oh yeah, dating. That's what that is. That'd
be
great.
It's a girl crush. I mean, it's a, like that's a thing.
Yeah,
a girl crush is a thing.
They're different. Yeah, because it's a different level of attraction. It's totally. But I still, like, I felt it enough to want to be physically, like, naked in a bed with a girl.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to know what that was like.
I had a really great relationship with a girlfriend of mine. Best friends, actually. We're roommates now. But we went through a phase where we would pick up guys together.
Oh.
So we did like, a series of threesomes.
Tag team. Oh, one guy. I thought you meant two guys.
No. But we really we was a little bit sadistic the way that we would do it.
That sounds great.
That sounds fun.
Oh, no. It ended up as, like an objective win for the dude at the end of the night. But there was, like, a solid couple of hours there where he didn't know which one was hitting on him, and he didn't know how to
decide.
Was
he like, am I about to hit the jackpot?
Right, no. He was like, I don't know who to piss off. Like, I don't
But were you two going at it in the we're both gonna fuck him?
That didn't happen until later. No.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
No, we set it up as like
let's hit on guys together, whichever one he likes.
No. We knew we were going because we felt it was safer.
So you knew the end
goal.
It
was safer. Yeah.
Got it.
To go home with a guy together.
That sounds fun.
It was. Yeah. We there was definitely no talking both of us out of using a condom. That was never gonna happen.
How does that go down though when in the moment happens where he realized the light that must be an amazing moment.
It was beautiful to
the
watch.
The light bulb click in that guy's eye, that lucky motherfucker's eyes, where he's like, oh, I'm going home with both of you guys?
Yes.
How did he realize that?
I don't know. I think it was, I was usually the instigator. And so I would usually sort of like push it in that direction. And then she'd confirm, you know, that like he'd be looking to both of us. And then he would get really excited. But was actually, we only had a couple of like really good ones. But unfortunately, a lot of guys didn't rise to the occasion. They're like totally intimidated by.
Guys are so fucking intimidated.
I know. It's so funny. Like, hey, here's your fantasy. And they're like, I can't.
It's literally like
that.
Two wild and crazy guys, the sketch from SNL. It's like they go around saying, talking all this thing, like all this game, how they're going to like smash the boobies into their face. And then
when it actually is about to happen,
scared out of their minds.
Yeah. Well, I've had one threesome in my entire life. It was two guys. Mm-hmm. They were straight. They were male models. They were beautiful. And
I
will say the act on paper fucking amazing. They're both beautiful.
Yep.
But it is overwhelming.
Yeah.
You don't know what to do. There was no double penetration, which is something I was scared of. Double penetration. I did not want that to happen.
I did that.
And I did. I was like, are they going to start fucking each other? I don't know what to do. What do I do? I don't know what to do.
Aww.
So I was like,
yeah, you're too
that never
head.
Happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was too in my head. I was too mm-hmm. overwhelmed. So I do kind of get a guy saying, well, yeah, I want that. But then when it actually comes down to that, going, oh, I hope I can live up and like please both of these women.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it's easier for like I have a joke in my set where I talk about I feel like you know, the general mantra is that men are naturally more promiscuous than women. That's like evolution, science, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of reasoning right. behind it. But that's never been my experience. I've never not been able to fuck a dude because I lost my boner. It's never happened.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Men are not designed for the promiscuity they talk. Like,
that's very true.
You know?
They
like
are designed
if
for
I get
it.
In my head, I can fake it until I get out of my head. Like,
yeah.
It's, but,
yeah, you lick your palm and then you wipe it on your vagina and
then you call
fine.
It a day.
And
yeah.
you know what? Sometimes, like, if you want to have sex in your brain, like, you want to have sex, but uh-huh. you're not wet or your body's
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
No, maybe not, you can still have sex.
Exactly.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, it's true. And then the tag to that is like the other cool thing about being a woman is it doesn't matter how many dudes I fuck, I'm just gonna know it's my baby. That's science. Like, you know,
zing.
But it's I mean, like my first threesome experiences, my first boyfriend was bisexual, and so okay. we did some experimentation outside of the relationship or like bringing in with other men, mm-hmm. and the first one was like super
great.
Hot.
That sounds fun.
So hot. It was like the whole thing, like the fact that I was in high school, the fact that like
yeah.
we were in his mom's basement and I was blowing this guy, and my
yeah.
boyfriend was
risky.
Watching, and it was cool, and then it was like it was so amazing. Second threesome, the most awkward sexual experience I have ever
two
had.
Two guys or two girls?
Was
the same?
Two guys.
Okay.
Two guys. So he graduated and went to a local college. And so, like, I went to his dorm room. Dorm room, two twin beds,
dorm
2 o'clock in the
sex.
Afternoon. Right. Oh, God. Fluorescent lighting.
With the Dave Matthews posters on the wall.
It was bad. all the bad things, like the vague smell of feet and, like,
like ball smell.
Yeah. It was
my
gross.
Dorm
it was
always
bad.
Smelled like wet laundry, like, always.
Yeah. There's nothing sexy about it, but I'm there and, like, I don't know. $200 worth of lingerie trying to look as sexy as I possibly fucking can on this twin bed.
Is the other guy bi or gay?
That was the problem.
Oh,
so
shit.
My boyfriend is bi. Like, he was like legit attracted to men and women. Yeah, this guy was totally gay. He wasn't all the way out of the closet
yet. Was he like,
yet.
Ew, pussy. Can you get that away from me?
That's what his face was saying.
Oh, no.
So I'm there, like, in, you know, presenting like a fucking peacock or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
with
yeah.
buckles and feathers and
do you, and I, do you I'm a pretty confident. I feel very. Going out in lingerie, you're putting yourself out there.
I know, right?
When you put lingerie on.
Yeah, you put lingerie on, you're like,
I'm
expecting sex. It's like a guy, it's like more intense and more vulnerable than a dude carrying a condom around. It's like, I'm expecting there to be sex.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, he walks in and I'm just in this outfit and the look on his face is like, no. Right? But we...
On the gay guy's face.
On the gay guy's face. Right? And so he walks in and we've committed to this plan, right? He's committed. We've committed. We're good liberals. We've read a lot of Dan Savage articles.
I love Dan Savage.
We're doing... Right? He's amazing.
He's fucking... I know.
But when...
I love him.
Yeah, no.
I'm going to meet him in
Hump Fest.
Really?
Oh, my God.
You should come with me.
I would love to do that. I would love to do that. I'm a huge fan.
It's an amateur porn festival.
Oh.
And he has it in Seattle, but then he's doing a tour this year.
Oh.
So it's my friend... I found out I have a mutual friend with him, so I'm going to meet him, so be there with me.
Yes,
he's
absolutely.
Why
I'm
going to
put that in my date book.
At Hump Fest.
Come on, let's go. I mean, we're not going to make porn.
No, I know, but I feel like we should be, like, talking to people and shit.
We should. Oh, I can make that happen. Let me work on that. Let me work on that.
All
shit.
Right, guys. Now that we made that business plan.
Yeah, you should totally have him on here. I think he would love those.
He's the best person ever.
Yeah.
I want to meet him. I've heard such great stuff about him.
Actually, a listener, someone emailed us asking, we didn't get to read emails this episode, but someone asked, is there any other podcasts that I can listen to that aren't, like, douchey people, like, talk, you know, douchey dudes? The Savage Love Cast is a great podcast. Dan Savage is an amazing person, and just there we go. I'll leave it at that.
That's
but
great.
Go ahead.
I love him. But when, at the time, like, we were reading it, and I think it was age appropriate black and white thinking.
Mm-hmm.
We took some of his advice, but not other parts of it.
Right.
So we
that's
were gonna
the thing with advice.
Yeah.
If you just cherry pick it,
it doesn't
work.
It doesn't
so well.
Work out. So we were really, really committed to double penetration as like the goal. And we skipped over all of the foreplay or anything that would lead all of it. Just all of it.
You like, can't go right to double penetration.
No, you can't do it. Especially with someone who's so obviously
in
not into
who, like, doesn't want college thing inside of you.
He was in college. I was in high school. We started dating when we were both in high school. And then he graduated. Yeah. So I'm sitting there in all this lingerie, and the gay guy, was like physically larger than my boyfriend in all of the relevant ways. And so we're like, okay, vaginal. This guy.
You're in the puss.
So he lays down on this twin bed, and I straddle him. And my boyfriend and I had negotiated, like Dan Savage recommends,
like you should beforehand,
right? Yeah. That we were doing the kind of monogamy where we were the only people having unprotected sex, and any kind of extracurricular activities were protected,
right?
You know, really insane about that. This is the guy I lost my virginity to, and before I lost my virginity, we dated for 6 months. We both got STD tests, even though we were both virgins.
That's good. You can't be too safe.
Yeah, I got on birth control, and we used a condom for like.
Dan Savage will be so proud of you.
So proud of us until this moment. So, I straddle this guy who has an erection magically. I think it was my boyfriend. I have no idea.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Were his eyes closed?
What?
Were the gay guy's eyes closed?
I don't remember. There was a lot going on.
Brad Pitt.
So I straddle this guy, and then my boyfriend, again, twin bed, fluorescent lights,
twin bed sex.
And there are three of us. And so my boyfriend like sort of squats behind me to like fuck me up the ass. Lube, lots of lube. And I don't know how long he lasted, but it wasn't very long. My boyfriend. Mm-hmm. So he comes almost immediately. So now I'm straddling this gay guy, right? With cum dripping out of my ass.
That's always the worst.
In this lingerie outfit.
You gotta go
outfit.
To the bathroom, girl.
Right, and like, and this fucking, and like, and now my boyfriend just sort of, who put this whole thing together, is like just sort of sheepishly apologizing for the whole thing, waiting for one of us to pretend to finish. Like, it was the most awkward.
It's like a Woody Allen porn.
It was terrible. It was so awkward.
Oh my
yeah.
Wow. If Woody Allen were to direct a porn, that's exactly what would happen.
That's exactly how it
would
happen.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't let people come in my ass anymore, just because the first time I had anal sex, I let my boyfriend come in my ass, and I was fucking... like dripping
it
cum.
Uh-huh.
It's weird. For like 3 days.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Because it like shot so far.
Well, you got to go to the bathroom
inside.
After. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of.
But you can't make yourself shit if you don't have to.
No.
So then it's just like in there.
You try and push.
And then it starts coming out. And
it's
like.
It's also the least sexiest thing to like, happen. Afterwards.
It's not. I remember I was like interning at this casting agency, and I'm just like, I what is happening to my ass? It's like burning and shit. I'm like, what is going on here?
That shit's still up there.
Corinne, the interns going to the bathroom a lot today. They probably thought I had my period. Oh no, sorry, I was fucked up the ass.
Why is Corinne walking like a penguin?
Cum dripping out of the intern's ass.
Story, my friend.
Oh my god,
you got 5 hours.
So funny.
Well, now anal sex means to me like I'm gonna spend a couple minutes in the bathroom trying to get all of that semen out.
Yeah, doing like the anal kegels or something. I don't even know. It's gross.
I just can't do the. I mean, just do it and then come some elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean. I like it. I'll do anal sex as part of a larger like humiliation narrative or like some part of like dom subplay. But I
like feeling turned on by being humiliated.
Exactly,
which I like.
Right.
I enjoy.
I enjoy that as well. But
we'll
like
get to that.
You guys like being humiliated?
Yes,
a little bit.
I mean, there's limits obviously. Mm-hmm. But I like being dominated. I like being pushed around. I like being. Yeah, I like that.
That's interesting.
Yep.
Because I have been sexting a lot with my dude this week, and he my like fantasy is like there's this one girl that we kind of know is into him, and so but I'm not really so much into like the sex with a girl, but like I get very turned on about like the thought of watching him like fucking like slap her in the face with his cock and like and like tie her up and like just come all over her, like just
that sounds wonderful,
humiliate her, but not me.
I like the idea of my boyfriend fucking another person or doing sexual things with another
absolutely.
person, but I do think there's a humiliation factor tied into that,
yeah.
Because it's like, oh, he's fucking her and not me. What's wrong? I don't know.
See, mine is like voyeuristic. I like, I would, yeah, but yeah. I don't know if
it's
I would
weird.
Like.
Weird.
I don't think I would like to watch someone I really liked actually have vaginal intercourse with someone, but fuck them up the ass. Or I would
or
really like.
Slap him around sounds great.
To watch someone else give him a blowjob because I'm like, oh, I don't know what to do with
I had one of the, like, if you were to write a script, like a sub-dom script, that was my first blowjob experience, and it was incredible. Huh. I was in. I had a weird like sexual history, but mm-hmm.
which I'm surprised we haven't got to yet. But
right,
go ahead.
And it starts early. I belonged to this organization that was like this weird anarcho thing. We were loosely affiliated with Food Not Bomb. We did a lot of like weird anarcho shit.
Right.
And so there's a lot of gender bending within mm-hmm. that as part of the general like questioning authority and questioning all the rules. So before I lost my virginity, I was part of a triad relationship with a guy who identified as bisexual,
uh-huh.
a woman.
Was it the same guy that you had these threesomes
nope,
with? Different?
Nope. Different
okay.
dude.
Okay.
Yeah. This is where I met all of my bisexual men. A
who
woman
are wonderful men.
Who identified as a lesbian. Mm-hmm. And so this bisexual guy, he also like was gender flexible. So with her, he identified as a lesbian woman. And with me, he identified as a heterosexual man.
Okay.
And then I was like
a straight girl.
Two
different sides of himself that he could explore.
Exactly.
Either simultaneously or separately.
Right.
All right. I get that.
They were older than I, they were 3 years older than I was. And they
I was
were also
say,
both.
You're like super young and you've had a lot of advanced sexual experience.
Like,
yeah,
but
it was
intelligent,
a lot.
Well-informed, safe.
We were reading a lot of literature. A lot of
That's
literature.
That's important.
It was a big deal.
I love reading about sex. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's how I get off now. I read my porn.
I love it.
But we.
She did say she read porn. Earlier.
Yeah.
I was like, do you watch porn? She goes, I read my porn. She was like, I'm sorry, that sounded really obnoxious. I was like, no. Okay.
It's hotter because your
you get
imagination.
To fill in. Exactly.
Yeah,
you
fill
get
in
to decide
blanks.
Who everyone is.
And there's
and
no
where
tan
at.
Lines in written porn, which is a
exactly.
real fucking pussy
no,
killer.
Like, weird like razor bumps where you're like, wait,
God.
What is that? Now I'm invested in this.
I swear to God, I've paused porn and gotten super obsessed with like family portraits in the background. Like I'll see a fucking family photo or something. I'm like, no, we gotta zoom in on that. I wanna know who these people are.
God.
I don't know what's going on. I want more information. I got a little CSI.
Settle
with fucking
Larry.
Visual porn.
Yeah.
So we're fucking like so this woman who identifies as a lesbian mm-hmm. Taught me how to go down on this guy. It was my first blowjob experience. So we're in my bedroom.
A lesbian.
Yeah, I was gonna say
mm-hmm.
that's
that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, she was also a vegan that wore leather. Like there was a lot
okay,
of like
I was
things
gonna say,
going
no
on.
No one's fully gay or straight, and I will
at
till
that
I
age,
die.
Right.
I will. I don't believe anyone is totally gay or straight.
I mean, she was being sexual with this person. Like, I would also say people that are, like, genuinely transgender that mm-hmm. end up going through with the surgery, if they have sexual experiences before that, probably acknowledge the genitalia that they have at that moment.
At that
so,
moment,
like,
yeah.
You know, she's being sexual with this person who
right.
is identifying as the gender of a woman but still has this penis that's, like,
yeah.
sexually engaged in what's happening. So, you know, we... Yeah, I remember she walked me through the whole thing. So, like, he's there, and I'm going down on him, and she's, like, giving me pointers and showing me different things. So we're both, like, sort of going back and forth. And it was, yeah, like, doesn't that sound
wait, did
hot?
He? Yeah, that sounds great.
Right?
Actually, honestly, that sounds amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Did she suck his dick, too? Like,
mm-hmm.
oh, do it like this and showed
yeah.
you?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, fabulous.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I like him. Yeah, I like, I don't mind being instructed.
Mm-hmm.
Me either.
In the bedroom.
There's a way to do it that's the perfect way to do it.
Yeah.
There's also a way to do it that's not the perfect
oh, well,
way to
yeah,
do
of course,
it.
Oh, well, yeah, of course.
It's like a
course.
Go fuck yourself, leave my apartment way to do it.
Yes.
Of
course.
You know,
yeah, yeah.
You got to do what feels right to you.
I feel like more women should be involved in that. I think, like, or more
instruction
more,
giving?
No, I think more women should be willing to walk away at awkward moments.
Yes.
Like, mm-hmm. I feel like we were, there's something in us where it's like past a certain point, we've like committed. To the
yeah.
sexual act.
So you feel like I can't
willing,
turn back.
Right,
I don't
we're willing
up.
To tolerate all kinds of bullshit after
mm-hmm.
that. And I'm like, even
you're
me.
You're right.
Yeah.
Once
like,
you made it up in your head.
We're doing this.
There's not even an option to turn back.
Right, exactly.
Even if you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. And it's like, no, acknowledge that you're uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Either be willing to say it out loud and be willing to say it out loud with the conviction of being willing to walk away. Even if it's 4 a.m. and even if the A train isn't running express anymore. Like,
yeah.
just be willing
yeah, yeah,
to walk
yeah.
away.
Pay attention to what your choice is.
Oh, yeah.
Your
yeah.
choices
I've had
are.
A guy. I actually had a guy do that to me who. We were just having like he was my longtime fuck buddy and we just weren't vibing that night and he was just like I can't do this right now. He's like, you can stay, but I can't. Of course, I didn't stay. I was just
yeah.
I was like, all right, okay.
Either gonna pull out in the moment right now, or you're gonna have meaningless sex with me while you're daydreaming about something else for the next
all
however many minutes.
But yeah,
I gave some advice to a roommate of mine recently that may have been. Paternalistic, like may have been sexist in the sort of believing in the patriarchy sort of
right.
way. She was 20 years old and had a Tinder date,
mm-hmm.
and she went over to this guy's apartment who was 30,
okay.
Had his own apartment, Lower East Side.
Was this a young me?
Right.
Maybe.
And then at like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, she's got all of her shit with her or something. He freaks out and is like, I'm just not comfortable with you being here anymore.
Oh God, what a pussy.
And then like they don't have sex. And then she, because it's 4 a.m. on a weekend, it takes her 90 minutes to get home.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. If you as an older man are gonna kick a young woman out of your bed,
you're gonna put her
in a fucking cab like a goddamn grown up. That's what you're gonna do.
Yeah.
And I don't hold women to that. If you're gonna kick a dude out because he made you uncomfortable, you're just gonna kick a dude out. But as a man kicking a woman
especially like a 30-year-old man and a 20-year-old woman.
Yeah. You're going to put her in a fucking cab, asshole.
I agree.
Yeah.
The thing is, for me, I think that he should offer, but I would never accept the money.
Really?
No. Absolutely not.
If someone
kicked me out of their bed and then tried to pay for my cab, I'd slap them in the fucking face.
Why? I would accept the money.
That it's very patronizing to me to give it. Because it's like, I hate that like money. Here's some money to solve this.
Accepting the money, I don't think it's solving
it. I don't like
it.
That. I really hate accepting money from dudes, actually. It grosses me out.
I would. If I were her, I would accept it.
I mean, I obviously have a different
very
relationship.
Much expect him to offer, though. 100%.
And you wouldn't be insulted. But you said you're saying right now that you'd be insulted.
I would expect him to offer, but I wouldn't accept it. I wouldn't. I would just be like, no thanks. Well, because he's a douche move, so you're going to get a douche response, but you better offer. I wouldn't take it. I would just charge like, that
thank
shit.
Thank you for the waste of my time, sir.
No.
I mean, that'll be...
I don't know.
So let's get into something that...
I have a different relationship with money and men and sex and all of that.
Yeah. So I was going to say, I was like, you kind of came on as this mystery woman.
Oh, okay.
We didn't even introduce you, barely.
So yeah.
You're like, Caitlin's coming.
So I know, and everyone's like, who the fuck is Caitlin? My friend Caitlin? Like, who is Caitlin? Let's tell everyone why we have Caitlin on the podcast.
Caitlin's a very, very funny comedian. That's how we know her. And she's also was an escort.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally, my boyfriend... used to date a porn star.
Mm-hmm.
Ready to take a shot. We talk about it all the time. But the thing is, she was I got to know her through him just because they had recently broke up when we started our relationship and they were dating for a while. I got to know all about her, kind of looked her up.
Yep.
And she was a very sex positive, intelligent, smart woman.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I don't know. Obviously, she was a little crazy, but they had nothing to do with her being a sex worker.
Yeah, that had
she
to
was
do
a
with
smart
her
person.
Being his ex. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
All my boyfriend's exes are crazy, too.
She was a smart woman, owned her decisions, felt great about him. And I remember being uncomfortably inspired by that because I was jealous of her because I was like, she's hotter than me and I feel weird. And also thousands and millions, however many men like fawn over her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's got to be, that's you got to brush your shoulders off when you date that.
She's
you
not hotter
mean?
Than Christina. Yeah.
I really think
editor's
she is,
note.
Great. Anyway, so you have done escort work and you, so we talked a little bit about this in the hallway of Stand Up New York Labs.
Yeah, let's go ahead and clarify for everyone because I know that the word escort comes.
It means many things to other, many people.
Many things to different people, and I fully believe in each individual sex worker's right and ability to define for herself what that means.
Yeah.
In my case, it meant exchanging sex for money pretty explicitly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
I was not accompanying people to events.
You said a quote that a parent said to you, your parents.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was the most amazing. After you said that to me, I want to say this to my child.
Sure. It was my father and I have a great relationship to this day. I feel like I can talk to him about almost anything with boundaries. But when I was he and my mother have a strong relationship that I don't fully understand.
Mm-hmm.
They're still married. They've been married for 30 years. But my mom is this like hippy dippy liberal who likes to go to drag shows and smoke pot.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad is a conservative and like dignity is very important to him. And he was in the army for 30 years. And he has a lot of dated beliefs, I think, about women and sex and gender and what that means. So when he'd apparently like just lost a fight to my mom, I think, because he drove me to school every day. And so I was 12 or 13 and he says, Caitlin, take your headphones out. I want to have a conversation with you.
You wore your headphones in the
put
car
the
with him?
Of course
I did.
That's hilarious.
Right. I was wanting to listen to my music. That was our compromise. He could listen to conservative talk radio and I could like blast Pink and whatever. And so he's like, take your headphones out. I want to talk to you. And I want to have this conversation. I only want to have it once.
Wow.
All right. Fine. Cool. All ears. He said, you are going to make choices about sex that are different from the choices that I would have you make. And that's okay. And I want you to know the most important thing, which is if you are ever in any kind of trouble, you can always come to me. I will always help you. And I will always love you. And third, if there's any way for you to prevent me from knowing that you're having any kind of sex, you should do that. Right, lie right. to me. Hide your shit. I don't want
right.
to know.
Don't flaunt it in front of right, me. Like, I'm saying if you have yeah. some, a concern, you can come to
because
me.
The
I'm your parent.
Exactly. Because the relationship that I have as your father is different than any relationship that you have with anyone else. And my feelings about what you're doing sexually, that's unique. And it shouldn't. I don't want it to constrict you. I don't want it to constrain you. I want you to feel free to do your shit. I just, you know, like if you could not wear tassels like to Thanksgiving or something, that would right. be that'd be great.
And so. How old were you when he said this to you?
12 or 13.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That is, to me, that is the perfect sex talk.
See, yep. for me, I totally respect that comment, but do you feel like someone saying like, be free, but just don't let me know you're being free. There's a certain bit of suffocation.
I think it's
in
coming
that.
From two different places. I think that father daughter.
I understand where it's coming from, but for
up.
A father to think their daughter is not a sexual being is, or not to like. I mean, I don't know. I feel like I can definitely see mm-hmm. where the good it is at, but it would. I don't know though. It would bother me a little bit.
Cause you're saying because there's a contradiction.
Yeah,
there's totally a contradiction. But
there's also a contradiction in a father looking at his daughter as a sexual being.
Absolutely.
Because you have the father side of you that goes, "No one for my baby," and then you also have the human side slash a little bit of the father side going, "Obviously, she's gonna have sex. Yeah, she's
I mean,
a woman."
We're all sexual people, though. I don't think it's any. I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like I empathize with my father a little bit. Like I don't have children myself, but I get weird, icky feelings thinking about my parents as sexual people,
oh, God.
Even though they're sexual.
My parents have ruined so many masturbation moments for me because I'll fuck. It's like the more you try not to think about people, the more they seep into your mind.
I hate that. That's so
like, are you fucking kidding me right now?
Don't ever think to yourself, ladies and gentlemen listening to this podcast, like that you don't want to think of your parents having sex because then you're just going to not.
I don't even think about
them
having
thinking
sex.
About it.
I just think about them like walking
anything.
In the room with a turkey sandwich. I'm like, oh, God damn it.
Corinne, did you get in the garage?
Oh, God
Shut
damn
up, Mom.
It. I get so, I'll be like angry at like my parents like about this and like hold it inside. I'm like, oh, they didn't even do anything. Like,
right.
So I want to know about the moment that you decided that I want to be an escort. I want to try this stuff out.
Yeah, how did this come about? Yeah.
Oh, man. It's so like, I come from money, like so. There was no material need.
That's why
that
you
I
speak
needed.
So well.
Oh, you're so sweet.
You do speak very well.
Thank
Damn
you.
Damn it! I knew there was something I to think that.
I know. I actually know a lot of people that come from money. Who's like,
bullshit.
Oh, I come from money. I don't got to do shit. See you, Dad. And they just like they're like more hood than
I mean,
hood
not
people.
Like you know. We're not talking about Vanderbilt stuff, but like you know, I didn't go into debt to go to college, kind of
right,
stuff.
Right.
You know, I'm an only child. Both my parents worked hard, and I've been squandering it ever since. But it's my whole job. The spoiled brat that I am. But I was curious about it, and I also it was a sexual fantasy of mine. Like I really. I thought that the professional sexual woman was incredibly powerful.
Oh, so
I
powerful.
I really identified yes. with that sort of like goddess narrative and somebody who was like so in charge of her sexuality
yeah.
that she monetized
shots.
It. She called all of the shots yeah. very literally. And that also was my experience. You know, I coming to sex work from a place of privilege, not having a financial need, sort of like breathing down my neck, not
exactly.
working for anybody else, put me in a very powerful position as
That's
a sex worker.
Doing
true.
Something because you want to
exactly.
and doing something because you feel like you have to. I
are
mean,
two
just
very different things.
Night and day, yeah.
And so like that's part of the reason that I'm here is I believe so strongly in your mission about like anti-slut shaming. And I think that we've attached a lot of meaning to the word prostitute. And we have a very clear mm-hmm. picture, you know, as a society about what that means. And my experience with it was so counter to that.
Right.
And it's really difficult for me to engage people in conversation and talk to them about my lived reality. Like
yeah.
being
yeah,
in the room.
This actually happened to me. I'm not
right,
just trying to make this
to
up to,
right.
to argue.
Exactly.
You.
And then people talk at me and tell me what my experience was based on, I don't know, some paper they read or something. And I'm like, I don't know how to tell you that just wasn't
yeah.
my experience. Like, I get that
well,
you read
yeah.
this book, but like, that wasn't what I lived with. I'd never felt so...
In control. And
yeah.
also, it turned you on.
Absolutely.
And you call all the shots.
Mm-hmm. There's something, I mean, like being like a teenager, naked in a room with somebody who is powerful, like mm-hmm. a judge or like just a man of a certain
CEO
age.
CEO of a company or
exactly.
something.
Exactly.
An older man. That's,
and telling
yeah.
them to do something that they don't want to do and being able to enforce that was incredible.
Wow,
it was just great. And
sounds great.
I feel like I want to take care of like the safety. Do you mind if I do like the safety spiel? Because I can feel like there's people on the other end of this that are like, but how is it that you were not raped and murdered?
Yeah, I worry about the murder thing too. As I eat a cookie.
Sure, that's fine. Are they?
She is eating a cookie.
Hello. Do I like them?
I
like them, Caitlin.
Is she breathing?
She fucking brought in baked cookies, guys. Yeah, I like them. I don't. I'm sorry. Are they all?
She
I don't
made them from scratch.
I don't want to eat all the cookies. I also have eaten in a few days.
Yeah, you should eat those cookies. You deserve them more than me, Corinne. Based on this intro, you deserve them more.
I deserve nothing, Christina. No, I'm really fucking pissed at myself.
All right, I'm going to Oprah you.
It's a different
thing.
I hate Oprah. All right. Back to Kate. I fucking hate Oprah.
Anyway, go ahead.
Sure.
So safety.
So the safety concern was I had a screening process. So before anyone ever got to me, they needed to send me an email with their real name, where they worked, and two industry references. So that's two other women that work in the area that they've successfully seen and not murdered.
And it wasn't weird.
Right. And that was like, that's part of
very good
protocol.
Wait, women,
part of the protocol.
Yeah, that's part of the protocol.
Wait,
that's
I'm sorry. Women in the sex industry?
Yeah, other prostitutes in the area.
That's so fascinating.
But that's great. I didn't know that was a thing.
That's a system.
It should be.
And it's interesting because the kind of people you got know how to deal with escorts if they've already been one too.
Exactly.
It's not like some crazy first timer.
Exactly. I didn't want to deal with any newbies. I'm not teaching anybody anything. Right.
Even at that, like when you first started out, you were like, "Oh, I know." It seemed like you knew exactly what you wanted to do,
exactly
how to make that happen.
Yeah, I mean, and the other thing that I did that was sort of interesting, looking back, and it was really smart in retrospect. I'm not quite sure what I was thinking at the time, but I basically looked at what everyone else was charging on these message boards. This is before smartphones, so this is like. 2005, 2006. Mm-hmm. But, the internet is up and running. And so the message boards is how we did a lot of our communication. And that's where men would be blacklisted if they did something wrong.
So within the community.
Within the community, exactly. So I always checked that. And you could blacklist people, and people use that as they should. I mean,
tool.
If you short a woman on money, that, like, turns a consensual act into rape is what I believe. Like, if you guys negotiate, you're going to pay X for Y, and then you don't pay that.
I've never heard a put like that, but that does
it's
make
just
sense.
Bad
that makes sense.
Fucking business. Don't be a dick.
Right, exactly. So, like, there were consequences for men. The other thing that you have to remember is that they're using their legal name, and I'm not. Which means that they're suddenly in a position where they can become Googleable in a way that I am not.
Right.
Yeah.
You obtain anonymity.
Exactly.
I can never say that word either.
Still never going to say it right. I never will.
It's hard,
I never
but,
have.
So two industry references. So the first thing that I would do is I would call their work and I would ask for their full name. And if they said, sure, one moment, then I'd hang up, transaction over. If they said, we've never heard of so-and-so. Okay, you've lied to me.
You have your
we're
answer
done.
Right away.
Yeah, we're
That's
done.
A very
Absolutely.
Surefire way.
Yep. That and just simple end of
it's
communication.
It's interesting that they trusted you with their full name to not out them.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're not
there's,
a horrible
there's
person.
There's a lot of mutual trust there.
Yeah.
You know, like, so there,
so
it's
that would make the experience when you're actually physically in the same room together all the more comfortable.
Exactly. Because there's already a level of trust there.
Yeah.
Well, also, men are very, I feel like, la-di-da when they're dealing with their penises. Like, they'll give you a lot of info.
Yeah. I mean, so
get a lot
the
of info
shady
on
ones
advice.
Won't. But the non-shady ones will.
Well, that's the other thing that when you talk about prostitution, the image that people pull up is desperate women that may or may not have either a substance abuse problem or some other desperate life
Daddy
situation.
Touched them.
Who knows?
That's always
that
the stereotype.
Are working in really dangerous conditions, like on the street. And it's the way that I would describe it is the difference between what I did and a woman in that situation is the difference between, like, I don't know, some kid that inherited a lot of money starting an organic community farm and a migrant farm worker. Mm-hmm. Like, they're both farmers, but their experiences are so radically
totally
different.
Totally opposite ends of the spectrum.
Well, yeah, and I'm glad you said that because I don't want in any way, like, there's a lot of prostitutes on the street dealing with some nasty ass
some real
shit.
Yeah.
And that's not cool, and that's not a great, and that's not sex positive for anyone.
No, it's not, but exploitation is exploitation. Like, I don't think that there's what I would offer is I don't think there's anything unique about the sex industry that makes it extra exploitative.
Right.
Like, and I will tell you that my experience working as a prostitute, running my own business, calling the shots, being very much in charge, and my experience working as a barista at Starbucks, like, I've never felt so exploited in my entire fucking life. It was the worst in every way.
America, ain't that some shit?
And that's a very interesting point. Well, and I think this
is a great point.
This all goes back to the fact that America, especially the whole world, but America primarily, is so weird about sex.
They're so quick to shit on someone who does that.
So, of course, the exploitation in the sex industry, God forbid someone's vagina
is
involved.
They want to take the attention away from what they're fucking up.
Right. I believe that there can be dignity in all kinds of work. And there probably could have been more dignity in the work that I did at Starbucks, but I just didn't want to be there so hard.
Oh, God. I felt so much more demeaned, like, getting coffee for when I was an intern at late-night TV shows than, like, getting fucked in the ass by, like, a guy I don't know that well.
Right.
Because, like, that was my choice.
I want to finish the safety thing. So, like, so all of this stuff. So, you know, the reason I asked for two references is I needed to contact one. I didn't need to contact both, but I needed to get in touch with at least one. So I'd send them an email or I'd call them, depending on, you know, how much information I had about that person.
Yeah.
And you very quickly develop a community. And it would be bad protocol to give somebody a fake reference. Like, women looked out for each other just sort of by virtue of being a part of this community. It's kind of like a comedy community.
Well, and yeah,
like,
all it
we
takes
all put
is...
up with so much shit from the outside world. Like, if you're a member of this club, like, you're gonna be in this club.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So I felt very good about that. And then when I met, either I would show up to their hotel room or they would show up to mine, or like, to, you know, in call, out call would be the whatever. And the first thing that I would do if they were a new client is I'd check their ID. So so all of this stuff is
lines up.
It all lines up. So they know. And then as soon as I had their ID in my hand, and I would take my cell phone out and I would call someone, either my best friend, my own voicemail. I'd call a random series of numbers, either or another woman in the industry, and I'd say, "Hey, you know, this is so. This is my stage name. I'm here with John Doe. I'll call you in like about an hour, about 2 hours, or whatever the
I'll call you when it's over,
or the whatever the time of the appointment is, and then I'd hang up. So then they know that
you did it in front of them.
They know that somebody out there knows where I am, who I'm with, and when I'm expected to be done.
And if they're not intended to do anything weird, they're totally cool with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Do you have an orgasm? Did you have an orgasm every time you had sex with clients?
I didn't have an orgasm until like 3 or 4 months ago. I had my first ever orgasm. So I was sexually
active. After how many years of doing this?
12 years of... No, I was an escort for a year and a half, but I've been sexual for 12 years.
Okay. I
no
was gonna say,
kind
holy
of orgasm.
Shit, Jodie Foster.
Mm-hmm.
So you've basically been chasing an orgasm all your life.
Yeah, I know. It's been weird.
What happened the first time that you came? 3 months ago?
Yeah.
Wait, the first time you came with a client or the first time you came in general?
No. I did stop escorting. I haven't been escorting this whole time.
Right.
No, I came with my current boyfriend.
Is that the first
Are
time
you
ever?
Serious? You're like, what the fuck?
I know.
What's his magic trick? What did he do? Was there communication?
If you don't want to, I mean. How did you even want to have sex without the orgasm?
Well, that's the thing, funny. I imagine, like.
I was totally aroused.
It's like eating hamburgers and then one day you eat a cheeseburger and you're like, how the fuck did I miss this?
Where was I?
Yeah, I don't know.
Did you masturbate?
That's a good question. So, like, I've had a weird relationship with my body, but, like, yes. The answer is yes, I masturbated.
Obviously, not
to orgasm.
Did you purposely stop? This podcast needs to go 5 more hours.
I'm flabbergasted.
I'm interested. Because when I started masturbating at a young, I feel like I was, like, 10. But it was all, like, wait, I think something's going to happen. I think that happened. So then ever since then, I was like. Yeah, 100%, yeah. And then I was like, oh, that happened. And then ever since then, I was like, that's what I'm doing for a while.
No, it wasn't goal-oriented. Like, I mean, I masturbated and it felt good. I definitely felt, like, aroused and, like, all of the
physical
symptoms of
that. And it is possible to have sex and enjoy it without having
Absolutely.
An orgasm.
Absolutely.
It is. Do you agree?
Obviously, the finale's fun. It is, but I feel like it's, like, once you come...
Mm-hmm.
Then after you know what that's like to have, so it's like you never knew all this time.
Yeah, exactly.
So then it's fine,
right?
But if I had known, then no dice.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Was it clitoral or vaginal? There's multiple kinds.
Clitoral.
Yeah, that's the fun kind. That's I mean, they're all fun.
We're exploring G-spot stuff now, but
were
it's
you
like
shocked? Were you like, whoa?
No, I've been building up to it. Like it was, I bought a couple of books. and you know, I bought a sex toy.
Which one? I have a ton.
The purple one. It's like the Jolie or something.
Is it the white handle?
No. Okay. It's the kind you can submerge underwater, and it's it's got this like magnetic thing in the bottom.
The charger's magnetic.
Yeah. Which is irritating. Actually, there's like a flaw in the fucking sex toy is that you can't just charge it and then put it in a box for a week.
You have to have it hooked up.
You can't. Sucks. Yeah, you bring it out and it's fucking dead.
The charger.
Yeah,
that's the worst when you go to masturbate with
the
vibrator.
That's dumb because where's the charger? That's a spur of the moment thing.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
You can't.
Yeah. I want it
to be companies.
I need equipment. What the fuck?
We need a
anyway.
Guys to be fucked line of sex.
Did you feel different after you had an orgasm? After
I mean, I flooded with oxytocin and like all kinds of other stuff. Yeah. I felt more deeply bonded to my partner. Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow.
It is a real bonding experience. Yeah, I'm in a committed monogamous relationship now. The other thing that I wanted to say before I left here is that I've read a lot of studies. I'm very, very interested in the sex industry generally. Yeah. I read a lot and all of that. Even though I'm not in it anymore, but
it's so fascinating.
One of the things that I hear is like women experience that it's like they're setting themselves up for violence. Like if you choose to be a sex worker, then you're probably going to be raped and beaten and blah blah blah.
Fucking ignorant.
The only time I ever experienced any kind of sexual violence was within the context of a deeply committed monogamous relationship with somebody that I loved very, very much, and I'd never experienced any kind of like shaming or violence or like. I never felt not in charge. Mm-hmm.
But that's
with
the thing. I think that has a lot to do with who you are and how you present yourself, though. Because if you present yourself as someone who's in charge and got her shit together, they're not going to treat you like that. But I mean, I was still
different within the context of the abusive relationship.
Also, that's completely different because when you're in a relationship, shit. I mean, I think all relationships are abusive in some way, honestly, and that's just how I feel. Like, and a little bit, I think, just the very. Usually at least a little bit emotionally. I'm not saying every relationship has physical violence.
Right.
Certainly not. I think there's always a little something fucked up in any relationship where you've been together for a long time. Just a little bit. The whole, because to me, the monogamous relationship in and of itself is a little strange, the concept.
Well, when you're with one person forever.
It's a strange concept. I really think it is.
And I think also being a sex worker, I mean, like, I spent a lot of time in bed with men that felt, you know, sort of sexually abandoned by their wives, that were in really complicated long-term relationships, a lot of men that felt contempt for their wives, a lot of widows, like, people that, I mean, sex is a deep human need. And I think there are a lot of sexless marriages out there, and there's a lot of need out there. Yeah. And I felt really good about the services that I was providing.
Yeah, and that's why I feel that there's really the sex industry needs to be like not a shameful place because I think it is a need.
Sure. And also if you think about it, men through their daily lives, they chase sex. Mm-hmm. Women can have it pretty much whenever. I mean, someone's going to want to fuck them pretty much around the clock. Mm-hmm. It seems you can walk into a bar, a guy's going to want to fuck you.
Yeah.
If a guy walks into the bar, not the case at all. But they want it just as much as us. So it's like it makes complete sense for a guy to seek out an escort or a prostitute.
And I would also say like I
think it's actually a really safe way. As I mean, obviously, if they're not abusive or anything
it's
like that.
It's better than some guy catcalling you on the street because his dick is so erect.
I would also say that I think it's better than starting an emotionally complicated affair outside of the relationship. Like if preserving your marriage is something that's important to you and you're not getting your sexual needs met
I think that's important.
Then, you know, like having a prostitute, I mean, that's the lesser of two evils here.
Yeah.
I mean, and marriages can go sexless for a lot of different reasons. Mm-hmm. I mean, it can be medical. It can be emotional. It can be like whatever. And I think that we buy into a lot of myths in this culture, but I don't believe that sexual fidelity is the best measure of commitment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And I think that people need to respect people having sexual needs. The fact that if a guy has a sexual need and he wants to hire an escort or prostitute to have sex with him, that's okay.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's fucking healthy. Like, I mean,
it is healthy.
Sex is so good for you.
Yes.
And like in the way that we've, you know, we shame people about it and we turn it into this dirty thing. But like having sex with another human being is so liberating. Like to watch these guys like come in to the hotel room like feeling like weird and blah, and then leave like standing straight up and like walking out.
Yeah, that connection.
And I, you know, I feel like I feel like I genuinely helped people, and I felt really good about, you know, I charge $400 an hour, you know, And I was deeply committed to like emotionally engaging with my clients and making them feel good about themselves.
You're talking to someone and
you're absolutely touching someone and you're human. Yeah,
it's not just some gross ass guy wants to. It's not that at all. It's a man who wants to. It wants that connection.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish we could talk for 5,000 more hours.
I'd love to come back.
Yeah, I want to have you back. So thank you so much for coming on and telling us your story.
Yeah, thank you.
Lila.
Anyway, it was very brave. Can I say that? I really want to say that.
That's what people...
It was, but I... Well, I also think, I mean...
Yeah,
it's
when
just
people
like,
say that to us, I'm like, I'm just being honest.
Well, that's the thing. I think I think the fact that it's perceived as something brave, like it is, but at the same time... you should never not be brave in, like, just be brave in
just
general.
Be truthful and
be
yourself.
Brave and truthful. Yeah. Yeah.
Be brave and truthful.
So nice. Like a Disney movie. Yeah, thank you so much. I'm sorry. Thanks to everyone who wrote in. We did read every email and every comment
and
everything.
We have a packet of emails.
We really did. We read everything.
We just didn't get to it.
We just had a lot of shit going on in our lives this week.
Keep emailing us. Sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com.
You could tweet us. It's SRYAboutLastNYT. And then, yeah, Facebook us. Everything. We love to hear from you. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you next week or hear you or
Bye.
Something. Bye, guys.
Buckles.